Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Good morning. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. My name's Jamie. I'm the minister here. It's really good to welcome you here. If you're joining us online, if you're at home, I can't think why you'd be at home watching the live stream or catching up later. Apparently there's some game happening later or something like that. Puts me in mind. Was it Bob Paisley or Shankly that said some people think that football's a matter of life and death? It's much more important than that. Yeah, that went completely flat. Anyway, we will be slightly reorganising our service, so we're going to have a shorter time worship at the beginning, longer time worship at the end. If you really can't bear to miss any of the football, we're going to put the TV on sort of towards the end and you can watch that over coffee, or if you need to nip out and get home, then we'll understand. No judgment at all. Much. We're going to begin our service with worship. I couldn't find a song about lionesses, but here's one about lions. Stand with me, or sit if you prefer, that's fine.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
So open up the gates.
Open up the gate. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save and set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? The Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty, so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your
chaos.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory. Slay. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Father, we just give you praise and glory this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We invite you. You're already here, Lord, but we say you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to speak with us, to touch our hearts this morning, to speak the language of our souls, Lord. Meet us, we pray, this morning. That's my prayer for you this morning. You would know that you have met with the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please do take a seat. Just very brief community messages, notices. You should have got the email. If you're signed up, you should have got the email. The main one is Elisa's art group is starting again on the 13th of September. Have a chat with her if you want to find out any more about that. Generally speaking, all the information for the church either comes through on the email. So if you're not signed up for that, please do speak to Carla. Get signed up for that, and then you'll be in the know, in the link, and also our website, social media, all of that. So do check that out. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings now. If you're a visitor here, please don't feel obliged. This is part of our worship for the fellowship here. You're very welcome to put something in if you want to, but you don't have to. There's no pressure. Becky, did you want to share that now? Or yeah, okay. Just while those going round, I'm going to ask Becky just to come and share. bit of a testimony.
Morning. So I'm just going to share a testimony following on from what Jamie was saying last week about caring what people think of you. So I work in health and social care, and it was never what I planned to do. And I sort of went into it by accident and ended up loving it and staying there. But it does have some grotty aspects to it, and it is a job that rightly or wrongly you can just walk into totally unqualified. And over the last few years, when I've had conversations with people, it's sort of a conversation killer to say you're a carer. Like, I met a fireman the other day, and you know, I was dreading him asking me what I did for a living. Because as soon as you say you're a carer, they're like, oh, yeah. And so, sometimes, I've had some wonderful employers, but I've also had employers that really couldn't care less. You're just a number, and you're replaced, and it's that simple. And it's a sector that I'm sure you're aware is underpaid, overworked, and it's a pretty thankless job. And that's a shame, because a lot of people really do it because they really do care and they love the job and they don't do it for the money. And I went to work one day, this is a year ago, I suppose, about that, and I was feeling really kind of undervalued, and I thought there was no point to what I was doing. I loved what I did, but I thought there was no point to what I was doing. And I think it came to a head when a much-loved member of my family asked me how much I was getting paid, and I told him. And the reaction I got wasn't great. You would have thought I told him I was going to sell all my earthly belongings and live on the moon. And he really tore into me. And the thing is, he said I was being used, and the words dog's body were used, And you know what, it hurt, because actually there was a truth to some extent to what he was saying. So I went into work and I said, God, show me that I'm in the right place, or show me that I'm in the wrong place, because I don't know what I'm doing. And I felt really, really down. And I went into work and I was doing personal care for someone. And I hated doing this part, because I knew that this person was in great pain, and so I knew I was causing them discomfort when I was doing it. But obviously you go in and you smile and you try and, you know. And I got down to his feet. And let's face it, feet on everyone are pretty grotty, aren't they? It's not the best part of you. And I looked at them and I thought, well, this serves you right for giving up on your music. This is what you get. And I began washing his feet, and immediately, just like immediately, this image of Jesus washing his disciples' feet came into my mind. And this feeling of value flooded me. And this peace came over me. And God said, this here, this thing right now, this grotty job that people think anyone could just walk in and do, this job that no one really respects, no one wants to do, they don't pay you enough for it, the government don't fund it, let's face it, or we don't see it at least. And this here, this is exactly what I value. And I couldn't help grinning. I was doing his personal care and I was just grinning. He probably thought, what on earth is she doing? But I said, thank you, God. It is such a privilege to serve other people. It is such an honor to care for other people. And there's a blessing in serving people. And three things struck me. One was that there's value in doing those sorts of jobs, and maybe you've got, maybe you don't literally wash people's feet, but maybe there's something else that you do in your life that you think, I don't get paid for, I don't get thanked for, and you think it's pretty pointless. Is there any point? Ask God to show you what he values in your life. Ask him to reveal that to you and focus on that. But also, secondly, there's a real humility and obedience. And God is raising me up now to better pay, better positions, and I don't wash feet anymore. But I still work in health and social care, but the Lord is raising me up, and I will never be too good that I can't wash someone's feet. And thirdly, the thing that I found hardest was God said, you've got to be vulnerable enough to allow other people to wash your feet. And that's probably the thing that I would find hardest. I could wash other people's, but I wouldn't want you washing mine and seeing all of my grottiness laid bare. But we have to be vulnerable enough to let the Lord wash our feet too. So it's just, just a bit of encouragement, really, that there is value in things that the world may not value. If God values it, that's the main thing, isn't it? Thanks.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that, Becky. We're going to continue with our worship now. If you'd like to stand with me, that'd be great. If you'd rather sit, that's absolutely fine as well. Something wrong with that.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King, for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh,
you have given everything. You have showed us the way, Lord. You have washed your disciples' feet. Lord, you've stretched out your hands on the cross to set this world free, to bring healing to every life, Lord, to rescue us from our brokenness and our sin. This is what you have done, Lord, and yet you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Take your place on the throne of our hearts this morning, Lord, the throne of our lives. This morning, just going to invite the kids and the kids team to head on out now to do what they're doing this morning. God bless them. Fill them with your presence, Lord, your power. May they overflow with your energy, your enthusiasm, your passion, your glory, and your love, Lord. And may the kids just really get a glimpse of who you are today. Very welcome to stay in as well, families, if you're visiting. But there's a brilliant program of activities. Just go and see Ruth and the team in the back rooms. I think they're upstairs. Let's just continue to worship. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Let's sing that again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you
are close like no other. Known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing that again, all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Lord, we declare your goodness. We declare your overflowing love, your bounty, Lord. And wherever we're coming from, whatever we're going through, wherever we've been, Lord, whoever we are, like Becky was sharing, even in all the muck and the bits that we're not proud of, the things that we wouldn't want anyone else to be looking at or to get involved with, Lord, and yet you see everything. You see it all, Lord. You judge it all in perfect righteousness and holiness and truth. And your decision is, I love you. Your word to us is, I love you. Your word over us is, I love you. May we never get over the wonder, the glory, the joy, and the freedom of that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Please do take a seat. I'm going to invite Elisa up now to share with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
If you don't know me, my name's Elisa. I'm a retired leader. No, but apparently I am. So God gave me this message a few weeks ago, and to be honest, I've just been chewing it. I haven't been able to put it down. So I often know that means God's going to do some stuff, so great. So I'm going to read through Isaiah. Now, before I read this passage, Isaiah was a wordsmith. He was a prophet. He painted poetry with words. And so a lot of the scripture is visual. It refers to other things. So kind of have your heart open to that. The book of Isaiah is in three sections: judgment, comfort, and hope. And the bit I'm reading today is about comfort, which is good. So Isaiah 54, I'm going to read in the Message, 1 to 8. Sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women. God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You'll forget all about the humiliations of your youth, and the indignities of being a widow will fade from memory. For your Maker is your bridegroom. His name, God of the angel armies. Your Redeemer is the Holy of Israel, known as God of the whole earth. You are like an abandoned wife, devastated with grief, and God welcomed you back, like a woman married young and then left, says your God. Your Redeemer God says, I left you, but only for a moment. Now, with enormous compassion, I'm bringing you back. In an outburst of anger, I turned my back on you, but only for a moment. With lasting love, that I'm tenderly caring for you. Can we have the next slide, please? So, Roger and I went to Italy, and it was a big birthday of his. And when we were planning the holiday, at first we were going to go to one place. And I really felt God say we needed to do it bigger. So in the end, we did a grand tour of Italy. And if you know me well, you know I'm not a brilliant traveller, in that I worry about it all. But God said he wanted to do more. And this is what this talk birthed out of. So, I believe that God is calling this church to expansion, not just in people, although I do think God will call new people here. I think he wants us to expand to the right and the left, like the scripture says. Now, I'm assuming you can see that's a tent. I did want to bring a tent, but the one we had at home was too big for the stage. So you'll have to put up with the picture. So the scripture in Isaiah talks about a tent, because in those days, a lot of them lived in tents. So it talks directly to how people live. But it also calls it habitation, the place where you're at, the place you live. God wants expansion. He wants it in our gifting. He wants it in our vision. He wants it in the opportunities of life. So that holiday was just a holiday. But God wanted to expand flourishing, proving that I can do things, showing me that life is not about things that are stopped, but things that are increased. Mindsets, opportunities in life. Now, I love the fact that this word talks about to the right and the left, because that means new ground. It means ground of the enemy. It means that there's extra space. I love that the message says it gives elbow room too. Now, when I think of that, I think of jumble sales when I was younger, and we used to go and get clothes for the kids because we didn't have much money. And I tell you, the old ladies, well, they had their elbows out to get there first. Elbow room. So he's talking about the places that have been barren. He's talking about this childless lady who has had disgrace. He's using that picture. If you were childless in those days, you had nobody to feed you, basically, because your kids worked. Nobody to look after you in your old age. So think about the barren places that we've got in our own lives. Maybe where things have not worked out how we thought. Because life has bumps in the road. Or rocks. Or hills. It's a call to not hold back. One of the things about that holiday is the fact that I have physical issues. I could say, oh, I can't do anything. And God said to me, no, I'm showing you to think bigger. It talks about returning to God. God was angry with them for a moment, and that moment was sin. Because they did the wrong thing, they went the wrong way. He was talking to the city of Jerusalem. It says, strengthen your stakes. Be courageous. Cure. Help. Repair. Fortify. Conquer. Make strong. Strengthen your stakes. Invest in God. Get back into God. Kids, young people, they're into things, aren't they? Let us be a people that is into God. Yeah? So, William Carey says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. I've always read that until this message, and I thought, actually, hang on. Attempt. We're allowed to attempt. You know? There's always a beginning. You're always learning. Attempt great things from God. So, this represents one of the tent ropes, okay? And you have to have it in tension on a stake, a peg. Because otherwise, your habitation falls down in the English wind. Okay? Doesn't it just? Physical action is needed to step into the things that God's got for you. And lengthening means moving towards. It means stretching. Stretching is needed for flourishing. Otherwise, we become stagnant, like a pond where there's no life in it. Too much algae, no oxygen, no fish. If we stretch in life, we actually flourish. God wants us to do new things. He's doing new things all the time. Actually, we get bored of doing old things. It's in that place of stretching and tension where character is built, learning happens, and growth happens. I believe God is giving us a bigger ceiling. I saw a box with the lid off that actually there's more space in God for us to do things, whether that's in your personal life, in your family, in your work, in your church, here, or in the community, in your prayer life, in your gifting. When I looked at all the Greek and Hebrew stuff, it said, bend away from sin. What a great way of saying it. I love that. Bend. Actually, you know, we do it step by step. That's kind of bending, isn't it? We're also meant to pass the baton on. So you might have been doing kids' work for 50 years, and God's calling you to something else, because somebody else might need to be doing kids' work. That's expansion. I just want to talk about those barren places. The picture that he paints is of a woman who's desperate for a child, who didn't manage it. But he's saying, rejoice in that area because I am going to. Next slide, please. He talks about coming out of the desolations. Just check we got the right one. That's an I. Now, he talked about the fact that he was angry for a moment. When I looked at the words directly from the Hebrew and the Greek, it said a blink of an eye. How often do we think of our sin and think of it and think of it and think of it and think God's angry forever? It's not. It's a blink of an eye. That gives us perspective, doesn't it? We're allowed to make mistakes. At music practice, I hadn't sung for years up the front. So I was given an opportunity to have a lead at music practice, and Jamie was exceedingly patient because I got it wrong about 5 times. But we're allowed to learn. We're allowed to make mistakes. This church, it's okay to make mistakes as long as we're learning in the process. Susan Jeffers, who's a psychologist, says, if you haven't made mistakes lately, you're doing something wrong. Next slide, please. Now, this is a complicated slide. It is. It's a vanishing point. This made me dance around the house when God explained what he was talking about.
I love the fact, I'm very pictorial, so he was talking about the fact that in a blink of an eye, his anger is a short moment, and then his everlasting kindness happens. Now, if you read what that means, it means that his kindness goes on forever like a vanishing point. It also talks in that scripture about hearts that are grieved, that he gathers and grasps people, that he mislays their shame. In art, if you're drawing buildings, you have a vanishing point, and all the structure of the buildings is off the vanishing point. So you use that vanishing point to do your perspective. So our perspective should be that God is going to do expansive things because he's a God in a blink of an eye, forgets his anger, forgives our sin, gathers the hearts or the people who've maybe not done it right, and then he loves them forever. His kindness goes on forever and ever. He makes a covenant. He makes a treaty. It gives us a safe place to grow. It gives us a place to take risks for God. Because this is the character of the God who tells us he's going to enlarge things. Isaiah 54, verse 11. Afflicted city, storm-battered, unpitied. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. God's rebuilding the barren places, and he wants to expand your horizons. Next slide, please. Now, this is Pompeii. So imagine 36 degrees temperature, no shade, cobbled streets, walking sticks and wheelchairs. We booked a tour. And they cancelled it because they said I'd never get round it. But it was one of the things I'd always wanted to see since I was a child. So we decided that I might not be able to do it the same as everybody else, but I was surely going to have a go. There's often difficulties in life, and there's things that make life a difficult terrain. I called this talk Stepping Over Fear, because often when expansion comes, we get the wobbles, don't we? Before Italy, I got the wobbles, especially when packing. I'm hopeless at it. I want to take all of my wardrobe, and they won't allow it. So there is often difficulties when we expand things. And often fear. So, Isaiah 41. Next slide, please. Let me find it. Verse 10. But you, Israel, are my servants, you, Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you, I haven't dropped you. Don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I will give you strength, I will help you, I will hold you steady, keeping a firm grip on you. Don't panic. Do you know that there's 365 do not fears in the Bible? And do you know that when you actually step out, most of the time you have to do it, even if you've got the collywobbles? Yeah? Don't panic. There's things that some of you, I think, have to get over in order for the expansion to happen. How do we do things so that we can keep going? There's practical preparation. I didn't just come up here having not read my Bible and, you know, winged it. I spent quite a lot of time preparing. Prayer is fabulous. The Bible, well, like I said, it makes me run around the room going, yeah. And people with wisdom, godly wisdom, help you get where you're going. Earlier I said, get back into God. Well, God goes with us. We often listen to the enemy's voice. And what did that word say? I have a firm grip on you. In other words, I am with you. I'm not letting you go. I'm in front of you in fearful situations. I will strengthen you, help you, give support to. Does that sound good? God's on our side. God has a relationship with us. And once you know that he's this type of God, you can get over those collywobbles. Now, I believe there's some people here who've been stuck in disappointment. You've been stuck in a situation where things didn't go quite as planned and you're stuck there. And I want to say to you, God wants to change that situation. He wants to move you on. There's time to be stuck, there's time to deal with it, and there's time for healing and moving on. Seek someone out afterwards. Ask for prayer for that disappointment. God wants to stretch your life and do new things. I was going to read Titus, but the time's moving on. Stuart, in his preach the other week, I could have kissed you, Stuart. You got it just right. Yeah. He was talking about strengthening one another with the stories of God. And I saw a picture of weaving, where all the threads are weaved together to give strength. We strengthen each other. And in Titus, it's talking about teaching, but it talks about the fact that you pass it on from the older ladies to the younger ladies, the older men to the younger men to the children, that actually there's no one here who can't pass on encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to get to acts of love and good works. We need to pass the baton on so we keep finishing. That we're prepared to climb over the fear and the mistakes and have a go. Growth occurs when God's call you to do something and blesses you as a response. I believe many of you are called to do new things. So, anyway, that's my time. So, please seek people out if you're stuck, if you've got disappointments, if you're just struggling to step over that fear, or if you feel that disgrace, because God is a God of everlasting kindness and wants to do stuff in your life. All right. Thanks, Elisa. That was an amazing word. I love it when somebody brings something that the Lord's been speaking to them about for some time, and you know that it's been percolating. And as she said at the beginning, she's been chewing it over every aspect of her journey, of her holiday, related to what the Lord wanted to say today. And it was a word for us here today. It wasn't just a random word that she'd been building up for a stranger on the street. It was a word for us. So let's just pray. And as before Jamie leads us in final worship, I just want to pray that those words sink in. What's he calling you to do? Which areas in your life are you stuck? Where you're feeling that little bit of agitation or unsettledness. What's he saying to you about that feeling? Where does he want to expand your tents? Where does he want to stretch you? Stretching's uncomfortable. It causes tension, discomfort often. It's hard to pull those guy ropes to their full extent. It's not easy. So just as we move into a final time of worship, keep that dialogue open. Ask questions. Lord, what do you mean? What are you saying? What do I need to do? What next step do I need to take? So that you can expand your tents. So when you expand your tents, you have room. You have elbow room to grow. You have room to bring others under your tents. You have room to do what you're called to do and not miss out. So in this season of not missing out, just keep that dialogue going and asking more questions. Amen? Amen.
We're going to worship together, as Joe said. A little bit more, but I just want you to feel completely free. Don't feel embarrassed or constrained. We're going to stick the TV on in the lounge straight after. If you need to get away, that's absolutely fine.
Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. The east is from the west. That's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us.
The Lord is gracious.
Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that He has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. The Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, praise His name, give Him praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Splendor.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself. Darkness tries to hide, trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, though we see. God. age, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead free. Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb,
the Lion and the Lamb.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Don't see how great. God, sing with me, how great is our God. Don't see how great is our God. How great, how great.
Lord, we give you glory today. Amen. You are great, Lord, and you are doing great things in the lives of your people. And we think back of the great things that you have done. Remind us of your glory, Lord. Remind us of your good things, Lord. And Lord, remind us of the good things, as Lisa's been sharing, that you are going to do in our lives personally. Bringing things to light, bringing healing, bringing restoration, bringing freedom, bringing new starts where we need those things, Lord. And then amongst us corporately, Lord, as you build your kingdom like the yeast in the dough, spreading out, bringing the light of love and freedom and redemption and restoration to us first of all, and then overflowing into this community, into this town, Lord, into this world, Lord. Make us salt, make us light in this world as we go out today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to come for prayer, as Joe was sharing earlier, and Lisa as well, feel free to come up at the end. If not, there will be television and coffee and tea next door. God bless you. Have a great week.